As the only two Englishmen in Yorkshire, shouldn't we be social distancing?
To get us to change our behaviour, you've got to use the stick.
Yeah, but with Swedes, you can explain the health benefits of the carrot.
The new series of The Cold Swedish Winter.
I can't even take my boat out.
No!
So I must be socially distanced from the fish.
Begins tomorrow morning at 11:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, we join Annika Rice on the hunt for her missing waxwork.
Hello! Oh my goodness, thank you. I'm Annika Rice. Now look, my waxwork used to hang in the foyer of Madame Tussauds. I was literally the first person tourists saw as they walked in. Me, in a jumpsuit, dangling off a rope ladder in the foyer. But I now have reason to believe that my body's been melted down and my head is in Wookiee Hole. I'm Annika Rice, and this is Help! My head's in Wookiee Hole! I don't know whether anyone even knows where Wookiee Hole is. It's a cave complex in Somerset, just off the M5. If you actually Google Madame Tussauds Wookiee Hole, you will see storage shelves with row upon row of decapitated heads. I mean, rumour has it that my head is plonked on a shelf next to Steve Cram and President Reagan. I mean, I've worked with Steve in the past. He's very good at running. But I don't want my nose to be nestling in his ear, gathering dust like that. Today I want to get to the bottom of all this. I want to work out where I am, who I was. Who gives a shit, frankly? Trouble is, I don't know who I am anymore. Do people see me dangling from a helicopter? Or renovating an orphanage? Or in a pink ball gown gliding around a studio in Elstree with Kevin Clifton? I need to get to the bottom of why I have a missing waxwork head in the first place. It's because I was once famous, let's face it. Am I now unfamous? Is that even a word? Is it a bit like being unfollowed on Twitter? We're going to start at the beginning. I didn't plan a career in the spotlight, but I'd had an odd childhood. In my teens, I was so invisible to my parents. I reckoned the only way to get noticed was if I was sent to prison. I used to shoplift in a desperate attempt to be caught. Desperate. Stuffing vast ladies' bras. I mean, I'm talking size 46 double M. Into my school rucksack. I mean, those bras had a life of their own. I could fit my entire geometry set in one cup. Anyway, I was busy stealing, trying to catch the eye of the shop assistant. Cooey! I'm stealing! Eventually, in Croydon, in Jean Machine, I got lucky. I got caught. I remember the thrill, I mean, the utter thrill of trying to make a break for it out of the shop. Now you know why I love doing Celebrity Hunted so much. The police were called. I felt this amazing rush. I'm a robber. Look at me. Everyone, look at me. Looking back now, though, I wonder, was this my first taste of fame? I gave the acting performance of my life to the Surrey Constabulary that day. When I was seized, the policeman asked my name, so obviously I gave it to them. Wendy Method, officer. Wendy bloody Method. She made my life misery in the upper four. But Wendy, I've got news for you. Did you know you have a criminal record? Circa 1973. And after all that, the police let me go. I was devastated. I couldn't even get arrested. But I'd got such a thrill out of being Wendy Method for a day, I realised I could infiltrate other people's identities and live like an MI5 spy. And in a way, I feel I've infiltrated my way into your families slightly. My fame gave me the chance to have this huge, lovely family of strangers. I literally loved you all. Flashing forward a few years, that's why the baby Annikas felt so lovely. They became my extended families. I know, baby Annikas. What on earth am I going on about? Well, in the 80s and 90s, dozens of babies were named after me. was ridiculous. Not a day went by. Here's baby Annika in the bath. Would you be baby Annika's godparent? But the most exciting thing is some of the baby Annikas are in the audience here today. It's so thrilling. Oh, my God. Hello. Oh. I was going to say, what's your name? It's Annika. Is this? So what happened? How did the name come about?
So my parents always wanted a name that was different, but not too out there. They couldn't agree. So I was Baby Blondie for 3 days. And then my mum put on CFAX and saw the programme Challenge Annika. And she had watched it before, but she'd never thought to name me after you. And then she just saw it and was like, that's it.
CFAX, ladies. We just dwell on CFAX. Audience are going, what? Are there any other baby Annika? There's a baby Annika here. Hello, Annika. Hello. It's really nice to meet
you. It's lovely to meet you.
Was it weird growing up knowing you were named after some bird on the telly?
A little bit, but then I really enjoyed watching Challenge Annika, so it sort of made it more meaningful, I think.
Oh! Thank you very much. And was it your parents that sort of got you? Well, obviously, it was your parents that made the decision.
This gentleman here had a little bit of a crush on you.
Who's this gentleman?
This is my dad, Kevin.
Oh, my God! You think it's weird. What do you think I'm feeling? Kevin!
Hello.
Oh, it's nice to meet you. How nice. So you just thought...
We thought it was a completely different name, and that's why we chose Annika. Oh. And that was it.
Baby Annikas, everyone! Anyway, frankly, I'm sure all you baby Annikas share my outrage about the disappearance of my waxwork head. I mean, you've all been named after me. You don't want to be linked to a deadbeat, has-been, washed-up lump of old melted-down wax. Oh, now, Madame Tussauds spent months making me back in, oh, I don't know, sometime in the mid-80s. I remember the rather beautiful young man who made me. He measured every part of me in detail with calipers. I mean, he cared about the colour of my hair, the tone of my skin. It was heady stuff. Honestly, he knows more about my body than anybody I've ever met before or since. Well, I had a yearning to see that beautiful man again, and even more importantly, to find out where that head is now. I called Madame Tussauds.
Please visit our website at madametussauds.co.uk/London for attraction information and to purchase tickets. Thank you.
No, come back. You've got my head. Hello? Do you know, it is weird that you can never talk to a human being ever on the phone now. Anyway, it seemed genuinely impossible to get through to anyone. Am I being ghosted? Do I even know what that means? I think it's off Love Island. Anyway, back to the story of how I got famous in the first place. Age 16, I decided to write to the BBC and run away to London. I told a tiny little white lie that I was older than I was and used my well-honed acting skills to get selected on the BBC training course. Within 3 months, I was working for the World Service Radio with a stopwatch in my hand. Well, I wasn't looking for it, but the fame thing soon tapped on my shoulder. One of the producers I was just typing scripts for decided I was wasted behind a typewriter. I think he worked in the farming department. And he thought I should be in front of a TV camera. Well, I'd never had any intention of being in front of a TV camera, but he decided to take me off to a farm in Wales to film me on a tractor. We stayed in a B&B. I'm not sure this even would be allowed nowadays. But anyway, I was utterly rubbish. I mean, I sat on the tractor, opened my mouth to talk about a cow, and nothing came out. I mean, my mind was blank. What were you meant to say? To add insult to injury, David, the producer, wrote to my boss at the BBC.
Annie isn't really cut out for a presenting job. She's definitely not a natural, and I don't think we'll ever have a career in front of the camera because of the gap between her teeth.
I've still got the letter. I mean, it wasn't like I'd pushed for this audition, David. By now, I'd met lots of people from all over the world in the World Service Cantina, and I was utterly intoxicated at the thought of the world. I always had been. As a child, I'd been obsessed with poetry about travel and places, especially Rudyard Kipling, and the thought of going east and out of China across the bay. So, aged 19, I bought a one-way ticket to Hong Kong. I thought I'd leave it all behind. Didn't tell my parents where I was going. I didn't know myself. Where the hell was Hong Kong anyway? I got a job as the sub-editor at TVB News, which is Hong Kong's English-speaking TV station. I had to write the news script while pretending, obviously, to be 25 and a highly regarded BBC journalist. Oops. One day, the newsreader fell ill. And here we go. I volunteered to stand in. Well, the first night, I was so nervous, I ran someone over on the way to the studio. I was driving through Hung Hum, and the roads were teeming with Chinese workers on their way home, when suddenly, in slow motion, a man's face appeared squished up to my windscreen. And then he slid gracefully down the bonnet. I was so shaken that a police car had to drive me to the studios for my first broadcast. Oh, my God, my dreams come true! At last, I was in a car with a policeman. The main thing was, I was now Annie Rice, age 25, professional newscaster. Just like that, I'd moved over to the dark side of fame. Here's a clip of me reading the news back in the day.
Another case of rabies, the 16th, has been confirmed. Results of lab tests released today show that a dog that bit a young girl in the Laofaoshan area 2 weeks ago was rabid.
Well, as we all know, it is extremely painful to be bitten in the Laofaoshan area. Do you know, what impresses me about my younger self, though very bad girl for lying all the time, was the sheer bravado. Anyway, I decided to try Madame Tussauds again. Come on, bravado. Then I had a brainwave. Of course, Clemmy Hart, my secret agent, could help. For those of you who don't know, Clemmy was my made-up agent for a decade. She doesn't actually exist. It was just me answering emails and doing an incredibly convincing Scottish accent. But she could sort out pretty much anything.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hello, is that Madame Tussauds? It's Clemmy Hart, Annika Rice's agent. I'm trying to find Annika's head, and I believe you have it. Could she have it back, please? Well, back to the story of how I got famous and got a waxwork. In the first place, I returned to the UK. I was 22, but sort of 28 in my lying world. Anyway, somehow I got the job on Treasure Hunt. For the audition, we had to do a mini treasure hunt round Hyde Park. Me and a load of blokes, all rugby players and Olympians. I was the only person who wasn't doing press-ups by the Serpentine for a warm-up. But after our session, I heard Graham, the cameraman, say to the producer...
You'll have to be Annie. Oh, she's the only one I can keep up with.
So it happened, I got the job, and then crash, overnight, I was on the front page of every paper in the UK. That first photo call was overwhelming. Dozens of photographers grappling to get the same photo.
Hey, Annie, over here.
Annie, give us a smile. That's it, over here.
Hey, didn't you run that bloke over in Hong Kong?
Everyone wanted to know who I was, what I ate, who I was living with, and quite quickly I began to lose all sense of who I really was. And then, to add insult to injury, I had to change my name. In the olden days, you had to join the Actors' Union called Equity. There was already an Annie Rice, so the people at Equity told me I needed to find a new professional name. I asked if I could be Anna Rice, or Anya Rice, or... Basmati Rice. I tried every derivation from Annie, but no, they were already taken. I had to think fast. I picked Annika. She was the sister of my friend Gary. And overnight, I became someone else again. And this time I had a whole exotic backstory of being Swedish. Once Treasure Hunt was on the air, poems started arriving. They poured through my letterbox, just simply addressed Annika England. I mean, tons of poems. All I can say is that the calibre of my fans was fantastic. Their poetry was brilliant. Really excellent poetry skills.
Sunrise in the morning. What do I see? A golden cornfield in front of me, where out with my plough and into the furrow, for many a happy hour, I'd love to burrow.
Every time, honestly. Well, at least he had the politeness to apologise straight afterwards in verse.
Oops, a little crude. I assure you, I don't mean to be rude. Forgive me, dear Annika, for that last verse. But the ones I omitted were far, far worse.
You see, though, polite to the end. Sorry to even tell this story, but, you know. Even the gentleman caller who decided to leave a sample of his bodily fluids in a bottle at the stage door of the Arts Theatre where I was playing Aladdin, he was polite enough to leave a note too.
If Annika doesn't receive this, could you please pass it on to Sue Lawley?
The haters were mad, they were heady, they were intoxicating. I was appearing on a different TV series each day of the week. It's actually a miracle I had time to even get into a helicopter or renovate an orphanage. I certainly can't think how I had time to have a baby. Baby Thomas. He was born in 1989. Well, the newspapers nearly exploded with excitement.
National treasure as little treasure.
Little treasure for national treasure.
Treasure for treasure.
Treasure for treasure hunter. Annika does the hoovering in the nude.
Headline. Oh, God. Anyway, Madame Tussauds were quick to jump on the bandwagon. And when Treasure Hunt came to an end and I forged ahead with Challenge Annika, Madame Tussauds simply swapped my jumpsuit for a hard hat and lycra jacket and put a paintbrush in my hand. That show gave me the scaffolding for my adult life. I think it was Piglet in Winnie the Pooh who said Piglet was so excited at the idea of being useful that he forgot to be frightened anymore. So when Channel 4 came round to interview me for a documentary to ask me about my career, what it was like to be immortalised in wax, I have to say I rather basked in their attention. I mean, the legacy of that programme. Well, the interview was going well until the producer said,
Annika, tell me, how do you feel now that you've been melted down?
That was the first moment anyone had told me I wasn't still hanging in the foyer. I felt a tiny bit lost. That waxwork had tied me to my old life. Suddenly, I didn't quite know who I was at all. Well, the documentary team had mentioned the caves at Wookie Hole. Now, that's weird, because the last time I'd been there, I'd landed by helicopter, run into the caves and done an elaborate magic trick with Paul Daniels and Debbie McGee. What can I say? Telly in the 80s was weird. But where my head is now, I have no idea. I'm starting to wonder if my waxwork might have been recycled and be in a crowd scene somewhere, actually inside Madame Tussauds on Baker Street. Am I lurking in the background behind Meghan and Harry? Have they been melted down? I don't know. Anyway, I decide to head to Madame Tussauds myself to find out what on earth is going on. We're asking people, once they've been to Madame Tussauds, whether they think they saw my head now disguised as something else.
I didn't. No, I'm sorry. Although, I think there was a slight resemblance with that Luke Skywalker.
And to add insult to injury, I was actually moved on by security. What this has flagged up is that I need to reclaim my national treasuredom. I'm not so much national treasure now as sort of national junk. Damn it, I think I gave up my career for my kids. But as a result, my children don't know who I am, or rather they don't know who the public think I am. You see, it's baffling. I'm a kind of cartoon character that's been discontinued from the Beano. I have a burning desire to bring back my waxwork head to show my sons, to put it on the kitchen table. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, boys.
What's a pipe?
Thank you, Sam. I want to earn their respect. I think the head might clinch it. I mean, surely that's a badge of honour. But seriously, where am I now? This is a new take on who do you think you are. It's where do you think you are. Shall I tell you, there's so many rumours. You know when you're watching Handmaid's Tale and Offred and Moira are going shopping and they see all those heads on spikes? And the same goes for Game of Thrones. Someone I know swears they saw Larry Grayson impaled on a rusty pitchfork outside Ramsay Bolton's castle. I think I've inadvertently unearthed a scandal. Does Madame Tussauds have a lucrative trade renting out old heads? And then a couple of days ago, someone called Dominic on Twitter told me he's 64% certain that he saw my head at the top of Louis Tussauds in Blackpool 5 years ago. I mean, this is like doing treasure hunt on LSD. Dominic is very helpful.
If memory serves, you were next to either Frank Bruno or Nigel Lawson. They had hundreds of heads and bodies up there. You must be lying there somewhere. Possibly with Lizzie Webb, the Green Goddess, or one of the crankies.
Get another lead. A friend in Suffolk mentions that the museum at Sutton Hoo is full of waxworks. Sutton Hoo is the biggest Anglo-Saxon burial site in the country. Am I there dressed as Boudicca? I call Sutton Hoo.
Hello?
Hello, is that Sutton Hoo?
That most certainly is.
Hello. I wonder if you can help me. I'm Annika Rice. I am looking for my...
Annika Rice?
Yeah.
As in Annika Rice, or is this someone messing with
no,
me?
No, it's me. I'm in a terrible state. I'm trying to find my waxwork head, and someone thought that maybe I could be disguised now as a, you know, Anglo-Saxon warrior or something as part of your exhibition. Do you
well,
use any...
even though I'm not sure if it's someone having me on, you do sound a little bit, because I watch you on Strictly.
Oh,
so
yes.
So if it is really Annika.
It is really me. That you don't sort of basically borrow Madame Tussauds' rejects of their waxworks once they've passed their cell bear, do
you? No, we never have done yet, no.
Okay.
The only things that we've ever had would be from the British Museum.
Come on, I'm not that old. I think I need a lawyer. Do I own my head? I mean, I don't think I ever signed anything, but I don't want to be on a spike. I don't want to be in a museum. I'm having a bit of an existential crisis. Who the hell am I anyway? Well, what I am now, weirdly, is a person doing the cha-cha-cha with Kevin in Strictly Come Dancing. I must say, this has added a whole new level of surrealism to my life.
Annika, where are you? I need you in the Strictly studio!
Don't worry, Kev, I'm on my way! That was special. I mean, it's not every day that Dave Arch, the musical director of Strictly, dedicates a song to you. The most surprising thing, though, is how no one really thought that dance was genius. I mean, I arrived on a rope ladder in the studio from a helicopter. I was really rocking that Madame Tussauds waxwork, now I think about it. And I danced. I remember the steps. They were all in the right order. The trouble is, everyone else on Strictly was so good that my Strictly journey slightly looked like some sort of low-key trip on the number 22 bus to get a sausage roll from Greg's. I knew something was wrong halfway through the dance. I was giving it my all. I mean, Kevin was on fire. And I glanced over to the judges. They weren't even watching. Bruno and Shirley were chatting away. They were missing my best bits. Look, you idiots! And the waltz, I mean, surely that was the best dance ever seen on Strictly, ever. No, no one thought so. In fact, the only comments I've ever received are, did you get to keep the pink dress? And what's the name of that pink lipstick? That's it. But the best bit? Well, a team from a well-known bra company came around to measure all our breasts properly. You know, two ladies, stout ladies. It took me right back to that lovely man from Madame Tussauds with his calipers. You know, there was a... And then when the bras arrived, it was so gripping to see everyone's sort of bras they'd chosen. Emma Weymouth's were all sort of wispy, whereas mine was slightly sturdy, because I still see bras as somewhere to keep a geometry set at the very end. Anyway, I got a newspaper column, work was flooding in, my sons came to watch. This time the headline was...
Annika's hot sons.
Yeah. This was a chance to relaunch myself again, if ever there was one. Well, we toyed with the offer of a Hello Magazine spread for 5 minutes. And then I did what I always do in the face of extreme scrutiny. I retreated. Honestly, if you saw my life at home, you'd have a whip round. But where all this leaves me, I have no idea. I need to reset myself. Is Dave Arch right? Am I always on the run? Well, the answer is yes. Back to that teenager seeking jeopardy, terrified of coming up against herself if she stayed still for too long. Eventually, after 6 weeks of leaving messages and being moved on from the pavement outside Madame Tussauds, I get a phone call with Claire, the senior press officer.
I know you were sculpted by someone called Steve. Yeah, Steve. That's in your file. I can even tell you what shade of lipstick we put on your figure. Oh, it's Mary Quant.
Yes.
Mary Quant.
Yes.
Pink and Sheer, number 33.
Yes! Okay. How is Steve? Oh, I know. But the weirdest thing is, there's some people who've arrived today. They're Steve's next-door neighbours. We have no idea. Where are you? I don't even know. Oh, my goodness. This is honestly so weird. I've got Annika's here and Steve's next. How is Steve?
He's very well. He says hello. He wants to be remembered to because he still has your photograph by his bedside. I think he's just beside Steve Cram and President Reagan.
Still on the phone to Claire. Sorry, we've digressed in the middle of that phone call. Come on, Claire, where is my head?
I could not say for certain because we use so many locations. Unfortunately, I don't have a list of exactly who is where.
No, you must. Sorry.
I can say it's in our archive, but exactly where, on what shelf and what number, I'm afraid I can't give you, Annika.
So I'm definitely not in Wookie Hole.
You're definitely not in Wookie Hole, no. We don't have anything over there.
Oh, Claire, well, I mean, that's just a bit disappointing because it's like a sort of brick wall that even you, with all your contacts, that you can't find.
It's been lovely chatting to you. I was a big fan of your shows when I was younger. My sister and I loved them.
She knows, doesn't she? I wonder if Claire's taken my head, is what I'm thinking. She may have given it to her sister for Christmas, and they're actually using it as a girl's world, putting Pink and Sheer lipstick on me right now. And now I've heard that, I want to give it to my sister for Christmas. Sorry, sons, you're way off the list now. Oh, my God, this is a bloody palaver. I'm exhausted. Fame is exhausting. I just don't know why every 15-year-old wants to be famous. Well, actually, I do sort of get it, because it has been a bit of a romp. I mean, what a fabulous life. And most importantly, all of you being part of it. My gorgeous family, so many of you are here. Work colleagues and baby Annikas and volunteers. And Dave the Soundman's in the audience with us. We've got to do it. Come on, everyone. Let's dance. You've been listening to Help My Head's in Wookie Hole. The producer was Harriet Jane. It was a talkback production for BBC Radio 4, and it was written and presented by me, Annika Rice.